Krishna-prasthaya uthale Srimati Bhaktivinam Praswamani Tanamana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Charana Namaste Shishamivahi Vaskatya Vest Om Vajnatamirandasya Janajana Sabakaya Saksir Samilatana Jaina Tatsmai Sri Guru Deinama Sri Chaitanya Maramistam Statitam Jaina Mutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Vatati Sartanandita Vansa Kopa Tavipascham Kripa Sandhubhe Vasa Patitanam Kapanedo Vaishivaya Namonama Great fun getting old. A lot of fun. Srila Prabhupada actually said, an old man can't be proud. But yet, we resist. But as Kadamba Kanda Maharaj so rightly said, that our ideal is such a wonderful ideal. Our ideal is such a wonderful ideal to become servants of those who please Krishna more than anyone can, more than we can. And I once went to a, many years ago, it was service related, but I went to a dramatic performance in Vrindavan of Krishna's Leela. And it was very interesting. It was well done. It was all Bengali performers. And the drama was like this. See, Radha and Krishna were sitting on a throne, and before them was all the gopis. And the gopis were performing a drama for the pleasure. So this is a drama inside of a drama. They were performing a drama for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, which means they were performing pastimes of Radha and Krishna for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So the drama was so wonderful that the gopis performed in the drama that Srimati Radharani was so pleased in the drama, sitting on the throne. And she said to the gopis, whatever you want, I will give you. And the gopis looked at her and said, we want Sham. This is not the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavism at all. Because as Maharaj so wonderfully said, who can please Sri Krishna Shyama Sundara more than Srimati Radharani? Do we want to surpass Radharani and take her place? That's such a thought that is impossible to conceive of. But yet, in this drama that was depicted, that I can give Krishna more pleasure than Radharani, and what causes someone to give another pleasure? What is the cause of giving pleasure? And this is where one of the reasons why the whole world is really going wrong, is because it's buy this, get consumed this, achieve this, gain that. And that's going to make me happy, and that's going to solve the emptiness that I feel in my heart. But no, it's really only relationships and love that brings happiness to the soul, to our actual self. And of course, that person who love is to be aimed at is they're all on the altar over here and over here. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so clear about this, as is Srila Ramananda Roy when speaking to Mahaprabhu in Madhya 8, after describing all the relationships that it is possible to have with Krishna. Krishna Hoya Tushta is pleased. Krishna is pleased and satisfied when the gopis make all the arrangements to bring Radha and Krishna together. And that was the mood of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he passed on that mood to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who passed on that mood to Srila Prabhupada, to serve in such a way that really brings Krishna pleasure, to serve those who have more love than us for Krishna, have more of a bhakti than us. And if we can't find anyone who has more bhakti than me, then then we have a problem. So in Ramananda Samvad, in the conversation of Mahaprabhu with Sri Ramananda Roy, the gopis are making arrangements for Radha and Krishna to get together, to come together. And what is the mood of Krishna? What is the mood of Srimati Radharani? She's making arrangements for the gopis to meet with Krishna. Everyone, it's exactly the opposite of the material world. Because in the material world, everyone, ahankara, vamudatma, everyone is envisioning themselves. We all live in a bubble of consciousness in which we imagine ourselves the center. And we look at others as just, we're the center of the drama, the star of the drama. And we look at others as just, they just have minor roles. And their role is to serve me, who's in the center. This is the curse of turning our back on Krishna. Krishna Bhule Seji Vanandi. This is the curse that we get just what we wanted, to be the center of the universe, of existence, in our imaginary bubble. And the problem, of course, with that is that we can't convince anyone, anyone, not even one person, practically speaking, that we're the center. That's the problem. So the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, has exactly the opposite mood. Everyone has different moods and different services, but everyone agrees on one point, that it is Krishna. He is the center. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha, it describes how everyone accepts that Tulsi Devi, is the most important of all plants. But why? There are so many fragrant plants, but everyone accepts Tulsi Devi as the most important plant, and no one is envious. And that is the hallmark of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. There is no envy, and therefore there is no anxiety, because the center is one. And that is, whatever is pleasing to Krishna, that's what I do. And that's also Sharanagati. That's the surrender of the jiva soul that opens the door to bhakti. I am yours, Krishna. I'm no longer considering myself independent. I no longer consider myself as the center. Now I am Krishna Das, Krishna Dasi, Dasa Dasana Das. But it, as Maharaj was indicating, that it's easy to say, but to act on that level is very difficult. One, in fact, for a conditioned soul, it's not possible, practically speaking. And as soon as we act on that level, we are no longer a conditioned soul. I remember hearing a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Mayapur. I can't remember the year. I didn't hear it directly, but a recording where he was speaking about serving. And there was, I don't know what it was, maybe Srita Kirti Prabhu can remember, but he was angry at someone, and it was one of his godbrothers, respected from godbrothers. He was very angry at him. something, I don't know what triggered Srila Prabhupada, but he was in such a fiery mood, and he was saying, and you could hear the power and the passion and the strength of his mood as he was speaking. He was saying that if someone wants bricks and mortar, Krishna will give him bricks and mortar. But if someone wants to serve, and he said it so strongly, and he was talking about himself, it was clear, then Krishna will give him service. And look at the service that Krishna gave Srila Prabhupada. I mean, as Maharaj said, that it can't ever be done again. Look at the service. Because his desire to serve was complete and pure. And it occupied his entire consciousness 24 hours a day. And it can't be imitated. How many times have I said, from now on I'm going to chant properly and listen to all my rounds and be sincere and pray in front of the deities? How many times have I said that? But because my heart is empty of true bhakti, I can't maintain it. It can't be bluffed. It can't be imitated. False ego will certainly come through continuously, my false ego. And Maharaj was explaining this point. And there's something that I've noted in from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita 2, which defines braja, and defines the love of the gopis. This is from the same the next verse after Maharaj, the first part of out of the two verses that are discussed in Adi 4, which define In a very wonderful way, the reasons why Mahaprabhu came. This is describing, I think it's the beginning of the second reason, but he's explaining Kaviraj Goswami, who has heard directly from Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who was serving Srila Rupa Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was serving in the most intimate way Sri Damodar Goswami, in Mahaprabhu's most intimate Gambhira Leelas. So Kaviraj Goswami says, the pure love of the gopis has been celebrated by the name lust, kam. The dear devotees of the Lord, headed by Uddhav, desire to taste that love, that kam, which in the material world is so much rejected by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Uddhav, purest devotee in Dwarka, he desires to taste the love of the gopis because it is on a completely different level. Kaviraj Goswami explains, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna sent Uddhava because he was so dear to Krishna. Krishna sent Uddhava to Braja to carry the message. Of course, he wanted him to carry the messages, but he also wanted Uddhava to see the mood of Braja. He wanted Uddhava to see the most amazing mood of the residents of Vrindavan in the Sri Vrindavan Dham, in their service, the mood of their service. It just didn't exist in any other realm of reality. And he wanted to gift Uddhava with that vision, to see it firsthand. So Uddhava wanted to taste that. And then Kaviraj Goswami explains that love and lust have different characteristics. Just as iron and gold have different natures. The desire, Atmendriya Priti Vanshatari Valikam, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dari Premana, The desire to gratify one's own senses, in other words, living in the bubble of our consciousness of false ego, where I am the center, the desire to gratify my senses is called kama, or lust, where I am in the center. But the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna, that is dhari premanam, that is what prema is. That Krishna is the center. Krishna is the center. It's so easily, as Maharaj was indicating, so easily comes off the tongue. I can say it, Krishna is the center. Krishna is the center. But to actually have Krishna as the center will qualify us for really moving forward in our spiritual life. The object of lust, Kaviraj Goswami continues, is only the enjoyment of one's own senses. But love caters, or love that is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna, but love is meant for the actual love, not lust, but love is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. And therefore, it is very powerful. Social customs, scriptural injunctions, bodily demands, fruit of action, shyness, patience, bodily pleasure, sense self-gratification, the path of Varnashrama Dharma, which is very difficult to give up. The gopis, in their love for Krishna, have given up everything for Krishna, as well as their own relatives, punishment they were ready to take, scolding, all for the sake of service to Krishna. They rendered loving service to him, for his enjoyment. That is called firm attachment to Krishna. It is spotlessly pure, like a clean cloth that has no stains. There is nothing in the consciousness of the Braja Gopikas other than this one desire to give Krishna pleasure. And therefore, lust and love are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness. Because it covers the soul and the actual consciousness, the actual capacity of the soul to experience relationship to Krishna. It covers it like darkness covers the sun. But love is like the bright sun that makes everything clear and illuminated. There is not the slightest taint of lust in the gopis' love, their relationship with Krishna is only for the sake of his enjoyment. The gopis do not care for their own pleasure. They do not care for their own pain. All their physical and mental activities are directed towards offering enjoyment to Lord Krishna. They renounce everything for Krishna. They have pure attachment to giving Krishna pleasure. All my beloved gopis, Krishna says, you have renounced social customs, scriptural injunctions for your relatives, just for my sake. And I disappeared only to increase your concentration on me. I disappeared for your benefit. You should not be displeased by me. So this takes place after Krishna returns, after the Rasa Lila. And how does Krishna reciprocate with those who give their hearts to him fully, who sincerely try even? How does Krishna reciprocate? Is he some type of a dictator, a cruel dictator who demands that if you want to be happy, you have to serve me, and not only do you have to serve me, you have to serve me with love, And that love has to be completely pure, no spot of any selfishness. And if you don't do this, you can't be happy. No. He is very soft, actually. And he reciprocates with any endeavor a devotee makes to take a step to him, even if it is not on this level. But how does he reciprocate with the devotees who are actually on this level, the Braja Gopis, when to speak of Srimati Radharani? Lord Krishna has a promise to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way that they worship him. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Krita. That everyone, whatever we have, whatever we are, is Krishna's reciprocation. And that promise to reciprocate, yayitam mam prapadyante, has been broken by the worship of the gopis, as Lord Krishna himself admits, Naparyeham, O gopis, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Krishna is, he's a person. If someone serves you continuously, just thinking about your pleasure, and here we are sort of selfish, self-centered, conditioned souls, but when someone serves and sincerely tries to please you, only the hardest-hearted person doesn't feel great gratitude and wish to please that person, and the heart is melted. That person's heart is melted and it becomes soft. What to speak of Krishna? What to speak of Krishna? So Krishna says, I am Naparyeham, I am unable to pay my debt to you, O gopis, for your spotless service. Krishna's mood is Sakrida Vipapanatvam Tavayachi Chayachate Savada. Who knows the rest of the verse? The Krishna's mood, you know it? Anyone from the exalted senior side? Savada. The Dhammitam Vritam, that Krishna has vowed that if someone one time, and this is the nature of Krishna, and why he's so attractive, all attractive, everything about him is attractive, but he has vowed that if someone one time, Eva Bhapanastam, says, Tavasmi, I am yours. One time, I am yours. Then from that time on, it's like Krishna writes his name, that person's name, in his book. And from that moment on, Krishna says in the form of Lord Ramachandra, from that moment on, I will protect that person and free him from fear. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, he explains the nature of the gopis' love, which is exactly the opposite of a conditioned soul's service. That whatever affection the gopis show in their own bodies, know it for certain to be only for the sake of Krishna. The gopis think, I have offered this body to Krishna. He is its owner, and it brings him enjoyment. And Krishna finds joy in seeing me. It is for this reason that they clean and decorate their bodies. So when they're looking in the mirror, they're making themselves look beautiful, but just for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. And for someone with false ego, whatever they do, it's just the opposite. It's only really, ultimately, for me. That is false ego. So as Maharaj was explaining, that this is a day for really reflection, introspection on what love really is, and a sure way to bring about more and some humility in the heart, which is the impetus for serving those who have more bhakti than us. So it goes on and on and on. Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, they're instruction manuals. And that's why Prabhupada spent so much of his time and emphasis in translating, producing, and distributing, because how could he? He actually told myself, and just only three devotees were in the room in 1975 in Melbourne, and he said, he had just gotten a letter from someone who said, and he read it to this part to us, and said, "My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble, most fallen, useless obeisances. I have a big problem." And Prabhupada didn't explain much. He just said, "Just see." And it took me quite a while of thinking about it to understand what he meant, is that how could someone who is useless and significant and fallen have a big problem? You could only have an insignificant problem if you're insignificant. And then he said, "I wish I could train my disciples personally. But what could I do? What can I do?" Because that individual personal training wasn't, of all the disciples, wasn't the service that Prabhupada was given by Krishna. And Prabhupada knew that he had such a huge service to spread the chanting of the holy names, and especially through his books, to spread these manuals, these instruction manuals, how to develop love for Krishna to the highest degree, like the Braja Gopikas. Their instruction manuals, there's so many instructions in there on exactly what to do. And Prabhupada had his instructions from Krishna, and from what anyone who, as we all know, what Prabhupada did, he just poured unlimited energy into spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Yes, Jai Prabhupada. And whatever opening Krishna gave him, he took. And in his challenging of material consciousness, he went for the creator, the great creator of atheism in this world. No one was challenging the atheistical scientists when Prabhupada challenged them, because that is holding together the materialistic atheistical civilization that is getting more and more corrupt and crazy each day, and Prabhupada challenged them. And any time Krishna gave an opening, Prabhupada took that to spread it because of his unlimited surrender to what Krishna wanted. But yet he says, "I wish I could train my disciples personally, but what could I do?" And what did he do was train some disciples personally, and he put all the instructions in his books. So we should read Prabhupada's books and read them in a way, not just read them, but read them in a way that Prabhupada is speaking to us, and try to our best to understand what the teachings are. Read and hear. So it's such a deep thing, of course, what is this day, and such a deep thing that it's Maharaj was reading about the depth of Srimati Radharani's love, devotion, her giving herself fully to Krishna for a selfish conditioned soul. I cannot conceive of it, practically speaking, of what that kind of love is. I cannot conceive of it. So a conditioned soul cannot really conceive of it, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented Radha and Krishna Leela very, very carefully. Because when we hear the name, what Prabhupada said is when we hear, he told the story of how the Bob, who was it? Someone was crying and saying, Radha, Radha, Radha. And the person asked him, why are you crying? And he said, what did he say? I don't know. The barber's wife. He was thinking of his girlfriend. The barber's wife, whose name was Radha. And tears are coming from his eyes. So, these most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, they're hidden, completely hidden, because when a materialistic person will think of them, their mind will go to material enjoyment, so that they can be expressed directly, but no one will be able to touch them at all with their consciousness, unless they are very pure. Unless they are very pure, and therefore Prabhupada's instructions and desires were for us to become very pure and gain access to this level of Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Maharaj, His Holiness Kadamba Kanda Maharaj, gave some hints of the empowerment of Srila Rupa Goswami in his writing of the Dakta Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And that's in the first chapter, where Mahaprabhu establishes Rupa Goswami as the authority in writing dramas, and also on Radha and Krishna's and Vrindavan Leela. And then in the second chapter and the third chapter, there's many things, but there's talking about how Chota Haridas, for a slight, very slight deviation from pure consciousness, was rejected in such a heavy way by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for just maybe thinking something inappropriate. So that can be very discouraging. And make one wonder, is that even possible for a person like me to achieve such purity of consciousness? So in the third chapter of Bhakti Leela, the next discussion is about Thakur Haridas, who shows the example of one who can completely resist any thought of sensual enjoyment, even when it's presented right in front of him by a prostitute, and even when Maya Devi herself comes. No effect on him. Why? Because of the intensity of his taking shelter of the holy names. Instructions for us to purify the heart, Jato Dharma Mahasana. And just like when the mirror is covered with dust, when you look inside, look at the mirror, you don't see yourself. You see the dust. So similarly, when the mirror is cleansed, then we naturally see the person who we are. So then in the fourth chapter of Bhakti Lila, there in Srila Sanatana Goswami is described, who's such an acharya, such a wonderful, perfect acharya, who is so humble and practices exactly what he preaches, and writes about. And then in the next chapter, there's two things, but about Ramananda Roy, just to give an idea of the quality of consciousness that allows one to assist Mahaprabhu in his leela, of intimate leelas, of dealing with Sisi Radha and Krishna, in the accepting the mood of Srimati Radharani. But Ramananda Roy he's training young ladies in a very, very intimate way. But his consciousness is not in the slightest bit affected. And therefore, he can enter in so deeply into serving. And then the next chapter, the assistant of Sarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, is described. And the austerities that he performs, we love to read about, but he had nothing to do with his material body. He was subsisting on no material desires, eating. And he, therefore, was qualified to be in as the servant of Sarup Damodar. He was qualified to be that close. So is it that we can't understand anything, because at least I can't? And the answer is, on one level, yes. But yet, these leelas go on. And I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada this morning, and he was saying that Krishna performs his leelas to attract us. To attract us from the unhappy pleasures of this world to a land that is so sweet, that is so sweet, to attract us there. So unless we are attracted there, how can we give up paramdrisvanavartite? How can we give up the attractions of this world, even though we hear so many lectures and give so many lectures and read so many books? And unless we get that higher taste of the sweetness of Braja, then how will we give up the nasty pleasures of this world? We'll do it by the strength of our own mind and intelligence, and it will be insufficient. This Maya is empowered. I've seen this many times in my own personal life. Maya is empowered. But Maya is just a reflection of the day, the Srimati Radharani, whose appearance day we are celebrating today. So just to give us a hint, as Maharaj read, that was so powerful from Rupa Goswami, Vidagdha Madhava, and explaining Lalita Madhava. So I also prepared something like that, from Rupa Goswami. This is just a little bit of a summary of Rupa Goswami's a part of Rupa Goswami's Dan Keli Kamodi, some of the pastimes. And it's all innocent. It's so innocent. But these playful dealings between Krishna and the cowherd boys and the gopis that very much have to do with the glories of Srimati Radharani. Prabhu, could you do me a favor and pass that cup in this direction? Thanks. So, the pastimes where there are many, many great devotees have written about the dankheli, the enjoyable pastimes where Krishna taxes the gopis. So Rupa Goswami has written something in his Dankheli Kamodi, and he's asked Srila Jiva Goswami to expand upon it in his, and Jiva Goswami ended up writing Madhava Mahotsava, which is an expansion of this one part that I'm going to read a summary of. So Krishna has stopped the gopis from walking because they're carrying their milk products, and he says, this is my forest and I'm taxing you. You can't go unless you pay taxes. So Krishna, so Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they just love these exchanges between them. So they say, this isn't your forest. And Krishna says, this is my forest. Everything is mine. It belongs to me. And then Srimati Radharani says, if it's your forest, how come it doesn't have your name? It's called Vrinda's forest. Why is it your forest? So then Krishna says something very tricky. He says, he smiles and speaks, Vrinda Devi, who's right there with Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi, is more charming than many goddesses of fortune. She is my very chaste wife. I swear that it is so. And we all know that Krishna never tells any lies. And if you don't believe me that she's my wife, just ask her. She's right here. And the Vedas say there's not the slightest difference between the husband and the wife. And therefore, when the people of the three worlds proclaim this forest as Vrinda's forest, as Vrindavan, well, the forest is Vrindavan, but she's my wife. And since there's no difference between the husband and the wife, the forest is referring to me. So the gopis, they drank, Rupa Goswami says, that they drank the sweet nectar of Krishna's words. And then Srimati Radharani turned to Vrinda Devi and said, Vrinda, oops, that was loud, whispered, Vrinda, is this true or not? Please tell us. I think it is not true, because if it was true, you would have made believe you were angry and you had left the assembly of your friends. So everything is somewhat crooked in Vrindavan. With these words, we have now defeated this king of liars, because I know it's not true. So we're not supposed to imitate the dealings, because until we have great love, of course. And when Radha's words fell on Vrinda's ears, she saw, Vrinda looked and saw all the gopis were looking at her with very crooked, angry eyes. And Vrinda's eyes began moving in a crooked, angry way and looked at Krishna. And she replied to Krishna, you are so weak that you have been captivated by Padma. You are the laughing stock of all of Braja. And if you want to become king of a nice forest, then just leave this forest of Braja without delay. Leave Vrindavan if you want to become the king of a forest. And you go beg Padma for some forest, and she'll give you some bulbberry forest, these sticker forests. Vrinda Devi then spoke of Radha's beauty and virtues by comparing them to many other things. She established Radha, Srimati Radharani's sovereignty over Vrindavan. This is Radha's forest. And then she described Radha's qualities. And many, many years ago, I think in the 70s, at a Radhastami ceremony in Melbourne, I remember Maravisa Prabhu saying that it's so interesting that on the day of Janmashtami, by glorifying Krishna, who is most pleased? Radharani. And when we glorify Radharani, who is most pleased? It is Krishna. So Krishna gets the most pleasure from these glorifications of Sri Radha. Her face is more beautiful than lotus flowers. Her eyes are more beautiful than moving lotuses or the restless deer. The beauty of her raised nose is greater than the beak of a young parrot. Her glistening lips are more beautiful than the splendid baduka flowers. Her teeth are praised above the white jasmine flowers and the red pomegranate seeds. How do you say pomegranate in Hindi again? Her smile is praised above the lotus forest. Her ears are praised above the charming ropes of a munja. The beauty of her forehead surpasses the splendid baka flower. The vine of her restless eyebrows is more beautiful than a line of black bees. Her ointment, her kumkum ointment, is more beautiful than a host of jambu fruits. The splendor of her hair is greater than the feathers of a maddened peacock. Her voice is sweeter than the high notes of a cuckoo. Her arms are more graceful than flowering vines. Her beautiful hair is more splendid than a glistening black snake. Her movements are more graceful than the movements of a flock of royal swans. Her lotus feet are more beautiful than a forest of blossoming land-grown lotuses. In the town of Braja, she is eternally more generous. She is eternally more generous than a forest of kalpavriksha trees. Could anyone repeat back what I just read, that last line? I'll read it again and then ask the same question. In the town of Braja, she is eternally more generous than a forest of kalpavriksha trees. Can anyone remember anything from... Yes. In the forest of Braja, in the town of Braja, Radharani is eternally more generous than a forest of kalpavriksha trees. The kalpavriksha tree, you ask for anything and they will reciprocate. But Srimati Radharani is eternally more generous than a forest of kalpavriksha trees. Today might be a good day to make some humble requests according to our heart's deepest desire, and don't ask for a new motorcycle. Or even, yeah. This nectar stream of love flowing continually from her eyes, and the perspiration drops from her transcendental body, defeat the splendor of gold, and are both greater than the Manasa Ganga, the Jamuna, and all other lakes and rivers. Her bodily hairs are erect in ecstasy, are greater than Kadamba flowers. So it goes on explaining, Srila Rupa Goswami explains Vrinda Devi's words about the glory of Srimati Radharani. And then she says to Krishna, "My Lord, this forest of Vrindavan is only the pale reflection of the glory of Radha's face and limbs. How can you claim it as your property? The lotuses and other flowers here are as splendid as the face and limbs of Sri Radha. In this world, this forest is famous. This forest of Vrindavan is famous for being as sweet and as charming as is Sri Radha." What do you think about that? Prabhu, you have a glorious memory. Did you? In this forest, this forest of Vrindavan is famous for its being as sweet and charming as Sri Radha. This forest is a manifestation from Sri Radha. This forest is the dear friend of Radha. This forest known as Vrindavan. Which explains that when you come to Vrindavan, there is a special sweetness that is nowhere else in existence. Many years ago, I traveled to Badrinath and Gomukh and Yamunotri, and there I found that there was a peace that was amazing and so deep. But then, after some time, we returned to Vrindavan and just went, what a relief to be back in Vrindavan. Brindadevi is speaking, because this charming forest has a form just like Sri Radha's, it is manifested as Radha's splendid reflection. And because it is the place of her transcendental pastimes, this forest is Radha's friend. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he took devotees on parikrama in Sri Vrindavan Dham, he would not let them cut the branches of the trees to use as toothbrushes. He instructed them, don't do that, because everything in this place, in Vrindavan, is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Not even a branch of a tree. So that puts so much weight on the devotees who visit and choose to serve in Vrindavan. It is a weight. And from what I've seen, having lived in Vrindavan for some time, is that Krishna very often holds a mirror up to you. And you look in that mirror and you see the difference between what you think you look like and what you actually look like. And it is very humbling. And it is not pleasant, but it is a blessing. Because this charming forest, in this way, this forest in the land of Braja is eternally Radha's reflection and friend. And this is not a contradiction. I will beg your attention for another moment and read just a few words that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Sri Samasandha Dhru ki jai, Sri Krishna Balarama ki jai, Sri Gornataya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Yitai Ho. As Maharaj thanked all and asked for blessings, especially from the senior devotees who have tolerated. Just to live in Vrindavan, you have to tolerate. but tolerating this rascal speaking, we ask for all of your blessings. And all of your blessings from the back to the front and from the front to the back. And especially from our old and dear friend. When I first came, the first time I came to Vrindavan to serve, Maharaj was the temple commander at that time. And now he is still a commander. and we have so much affection and deepest respect for this soul. He's such a hero. He's such a hero. Such a hero.
Sorry.
He'll probably get me back later. Such a servant of Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees, and goes to so many difficult places, accepts so many challenges, all for service.